Well, amen.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. The book of Romans, the 7th chapter. And we will not be covering all of this today, of course, but I think that we need to get it all in order to understand the full thought of what is in the book of Romans. And then we have church on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Some of you are unaware of that, but we've only been doing that for several hundred years now. But we'd like to invite you back on Sunday night to be a part of that. And we'll finish up this message in the 7th chapter of Romans tonight. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And here again, Paul is asking these people, did you not know that this is something you should have known, and or something that you should be aware of, as he talks to the Romans about grace. As he talks about that wonderful gift that the Lord has given us. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So death does away with that. Death does away with that. And he explains, he gives an illustration of a woman whose husband died, and she's married to another. And of course, the illustration is to bring us to the place of doing away with the law and being married to Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And that illustration is given through the New Testament. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, now we need to really catch hold of this, for when we were in the flesh, the term here in the flesh is referring to that time before we were saved. But the Bible says that we're new creatures. Now, we're going to go ahead, and as we read this, we're going to understand that Paul is saying you still have a sin nature. Now, you're not to walk in the flesh any longer, but you still have a sin nature. And so you are in a constant battle with this, and you're going to keep that sin nature, that desire to do wrong. You're going to keep that sin nature until you die. There is not a person here that's going to ever be able to live without sin here on this earth. But Paul gives us a great illustration of that. For when we're in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Everything that we do outside of Jesus Christ being in charge just brings death. It doesn't do anything. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Let's pray together. I'm going to give you an opportunity to sit down, and then we're going to get into this. Father, thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for every blessing of life. And Lord, there is so much good stuff here. If it's left up to me, I'll foul it up. God, I pray that you'd preach through me today. And God, that our eyes spiritually would be open, our minds would be open to this truth, this wonderful truth of grace that you have in our lives, that we could just grab hold of this. What a great, great difference it would make in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think the bottom line of what Paul is going to teach us in this seventh chapter of Romans is freedom. It's a freedom to live in Christ. Now, I have a little prop for a sermon illustration. I like to use props, and I kind of got out of that in the last few years. But I really do like to use props to try to get folks to think about something. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but there's props all around the wall. Did you notice that? Walls are propped up. There's props all around the wall. Well, it says wet paint. And underneath that, it says do not touch. And I have noticed a number of people who touch the wall. And it says do not touch, but they touched it. Drew Fry said, that sign is a lie. And I said, how do you know? He said, I touched it. It's not wet paint. There's no wet paint there. The object of that prop is this. For us to understand that what when there is a law, it increases our desire to do that which is wrong. And so Paul said that. And then he said, now you're going to say, does that make the law bad? Does that make the law sin? Well, of course not. Of course not. The law is not sin. What the law is a mirror to indicate to us what we are really like. And what we are really like, we have within us this desire to do what is wrong. Because Paul says in this passage, when I would do right, evil was present with me. The wrong was present with me. Now I have had the message translation for quite some time. But in Romans, I have really, really enjoyed what Peterson had to say in the book of Romans. And I was reading this to Gwen this morning, and I said, this makes so much sense. This helps us so much when we look at that. Now, if you will, I did a little reading after Peterson to discover what his background was and some of the things about that. And he's a Methodist, but he has eternal security down pat. And he says, I never meant for this to be a translation of a Bible. Just a commentary to help folks understand what the Bible says. But most folks will say now the Message Bible. But it is a wonderful tool for you and I to use to help us understand Scripture. I want to read to you from the way that Peterson translates the seventh chapter of Romans. Verses 14 through 16, you may want to follow along in your own Bible. I know that all God's commandments are spiritual, but I'm not. Did you realize that? I'm not. Now, I want us to think about who is saying this. The Apostle Paul is saying this, but I'm not. And I'm not. I am I have living in me something that works against me called the sin nature. And evil is present. The ability and sometimes even the desire. The desire to do wrong. The temptation, let's put it like that. The temptation to do wrong is present with me when I want to do right. Let me go ahead and read what he says. But I'm not. Isn't that also your experience, he says? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. Now, he doesn't say that he's still in sin's prison now, because all of the chapter 6 explained to us that he'd been set free from that prison. He's not in that prison now. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's commands is necessary. But I need something more. I need something more than the command. I need something more than the command, he says. I need something more than the command that says, do not touch. I need something more than the command that says that if you touch this, it will burn you. I need something more in my life that says that if I neglect the Word of God, that it is going to bring me to a road of disaster. I need something more in my life that says that if I take these drugs or if I drink this alcohol, that it's going to bring me to a place of disaster. I need something more in my life that if I look at pornography, that it will destroy me. Now, you know, I think that there's a lot of all those things that I've mentioned that many folks who are involved in that know that that's not good for them. Know that that won't work. Stealing, robbing, and being unfaithful to your spouse and being unfaithful to your employer with your time and doing those things wrong, all of those. And if you went down the commandments and looked at all the commandments, you'd say, well, if I follow through with this, it's going to be bad for me. It's going to work, but there is something working within me, and this is what he says. I need something more. For if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it is predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me, pay attention, it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebels, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? As I was reading through this in Romans 7, and I ask you to read as many different commentaries and many different translations in Romans as you could between the services so that you'd be well aware of what we were talking about. And as I was reading that, I thought, that's just like me. That's just like me. Now, I can put on the garb of legalism. And I can act out legalistically what would fool other people. But what is on the inside? Now, Paul said, is there no hope? If other people feel the way that I feel, then is there no hope for us? If this is about us all the time, is there not any hope for us? Now, Paul says in this chapter that he said, now, you're going to ask a question. So, are you saying that the law is not good? The law of God? Where the Bible says that the law of God is perfect? But I'm not perfect. The law of God is perfect, but I'm not perfect. So Paul says here, there's got to be something more for me. There's got to be something more here. And so he said, there is. There is something more. So that even though I have within me this sin nature to do wrong, and it's always there, and I'm going to take it to the grave with me, but I have been brought to a place of being a new creature where I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore, so I have within me that gives me the power to choose Jesus over those things. And the Bible says that whenever I walk in the Spirit, I will not be obedient to the lust of the flesh. And so I walk in the Spirit. Now this is the new law that Paul is talking about. He is going to explain to us about sanctification in this chapter. He's already brought it up and he's already started talking about it, but he's talking about sanctification. Now, last week I gave you a definition of sanctification. Sanctification is you becoming what God has created you to be. He has a purpose for you and he has a purpose for me. And so as I live in him and he lives in me and fulfills that purpose that he has for me in my life, I am being sanctified. I'm becoming a saint as he lives in and through me. He sanctifies me. Now, this is how this works. Under the law says that it's wrong for me to be hot-tempered, to lose my cool and explode. So when the wheels all fall off and I want to explode, and I do explode, I'm following the sin nature that's in me. I'm just doing what old Lanny does naturally. But when the wheels all fall off and I'm walking in the Spirit and I do what Jesus calls on me to do, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing a different Lanny. I'm seeing something different in me. There's a change that has took place that really blesses my heart, Brother Matt, because of the Spirit that is living in me. And so Christ Jesus living in me has empowered me to live the life that He is calling on me to live, and He is making me a saint. He is sanctifying me. He is creating. He's created me in His own image. He has created me for a purpose in my life. And as I'm walking in Him and living in Him, that is coming to fruition in my life. The Word of God is a mirror that shows us what we look like. The law of God is a mirror that indicates what we're really like. Our desperate need for Jesus Christ. There is not a person here who can live the Christian life. You can put on a facade. You can put on a show, but there is not a person here who can live that life. Not one person. You can't do it. I can't do it, and you can't do it. You cannot live the Christian life. But Jesus Christ can live that life in you. You and I must die to this old way and allow Jesus to come alive in our lives. This is what He says. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. But Jesus Christ is living in and through me. The law has authority only over the living. When I die, it doesn't have authority over me anymore. So, I have a choice to live or to die. I have a choice to die to an old way of life. Have you ever said anything that you wished you had not said? It just comes out before you meant for it to. And I'm constantly doing that. And that's my old nature. But if I am walking in the Spirit, I'm not doing that. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't do that. It just means that when I'm walking in the Spirit, I do not do that. So what does this chapter teach? Sanctification is unattainable through self-effort or the law. That's what He's saying. It's unattainable. You can't, without Jesus, you cannot do it. You can't, unless you are walking in Him and living in Him, you cannot live. Now you can put on a show, you can put on a dog, and make people think that you are, but inwardly you're not unless you're walking in the Spirit. Now I want to tell you something. There's a total difference between legalism and walking in the Spirit. Folks don't want to be around legalists. They don't want to be around someone whose life is made up of rules. But those that are walking in the Spirit, they're on the other side of those rules. You see, we're loving on folks because that's what Jesus would do, and because He's living in us, He causes us to love them. Being a daddy will put you in a place that that nothing else will do for you as far as your love for your kids. You kiss on them snotty noses or not, because of this that's in you. And when Jesus is in us, we're loving on folks that are unlovely. It's coming and we're thinking, well, this is not like me. Well, it's not like you. And it's not like me. But Jesus is living that life through us and in us. So how do we apply what we've learned from chapter 6 to chapter 7? In Romans 6 and verse 14, here Paul says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." We've got to add that. We've got to bring that together. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Chapter 7 and verse 4. You are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Look with me again at Romans 6 and verse 3. Now this is going to be a long reading. Look at verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" It's the symbol of what has happened. It doesn't save you. It doesn't bring you into a new life. It's only a symbol of what has happened. And so here he uses baptism and he says that we were baptized into His death, but we were raised again into newness of life. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We have stepped through the corridor. We have stepped through the door into a new life, a new country, a new way of doing things. And it's Christ that is living in us, which Paul said to the Colossians, it's the hope of glory. Christ that is living in us. "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." Paul expected the Romans to, as he was giving out chapter 7, to have remembered everything that he said in chapter 6. "Know this," he said. Remember last week we were talking about those things that Paul said that we had to know. "Know this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." My old man was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. I have a sin nature, but I have a choice now. I have a sin nature, but I have a choice now. My old man was crucified with Christ. And everything that was subject to was crucified with Christ. It was nailed to the cross. And I don't have to obey it. I'm a new man. You know, the devil would try to convince me that I'm just like I've always been. You just keep doing the same thing over and over, and you just keep trying to do better, but you just do the same thing over and over. I try to stay on a diet and I fall off the wagon. I'm like Junior Hill. He said, "I used to sneak out behind the shed and smoke a cigarette." He said, "Now I sneak out behind the shed and eat a bar of candy." I have it in me. But I've got a new nature now that has power over that. It has power over that. In 6 and verse 14, he said, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Where did I get to on this 3 through 14? "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, there's our word, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Who's on the throne? Don't allow sin to stay on the throne. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I have a choice. I have a choice. I don't have to give my members up to sin. And you don't either. Because here Paul said, if I give them up to sin, that's going to bring about death. Brings about death in my life. The wages of sin is death. It just brings about death when we give in to sin. It brings about death. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, I have this thing that I think that I know what would be good for Lanny. This is what would be good for Lanny. Don't give me that shot. It hurts. Even though it's going to help me, don't give it to me, because right now, I'm wanting to just have pleasure, not having a shot. You see where I'm going? But the Bible says that when we just do as we please, when we do what pleases us, it brings about death in our life. And it's really not what brings about happiness. The devil would say that that would bring happiness, but it does not bring happiness. It brings death in our lives. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. That's a great word. That's that wonderful word of grace that God has given us. You can't live the Christian life, but the one who is living in you can. In Colossians, the first chapter and verse 27, Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Christ liveth in me. In Ephesians 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart. In John 14 and verse 23, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I want to read these. Look with me at Galatians, the fourth chapter. I want to read these to you. I think we have them on the PowerPoint. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, where is Jesus now? If you're born again, where is Jesus? He's in you, right? Now He's gone, and He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, but at the same time, He is omnipresent. He is all present. He is God. And so He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. If you're born again, He is also living in your heart. God is dwelling in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is there. And did you know that He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? He said he'd always be, no matter what the trouble is, no matter how dramatic the situation is, no matter how awful life deals you, then he said, I'm always there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. 2 Corinthians 13. Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'll get there. You're probably already there. 2 Corinthians 13, look at verse. That's way over here. Has yours got 13 chapters? Yeah, mine does too. And this is what he says. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in where? In you. He's in you. Except you be reprobates. Where would you be if Jesus was not living in you? If there's not been a change, he's not living in you. But where would you be? What this change has taken place. You've died with him. You've risen again. You've stepped into a new country. You've left the old house. And now you're living in the new country. You've gone through the wardrobe and you've come out on the other side. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And then Hebrews. We're studying Hebrews in the Sunday school literature now. Hebrews 13 and the first part of that. Let your conversation be without covetousness. What does that word conversation mean? Your manner of life. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, let's finish. God plans for my life. Look at Romans 7 and verse 4. Romans 7 and look up at verse 4. And the very last phrase of that verse, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. If I'm with a bunch of other preachers, and preachers are bad to do this sometimes, I think. If I'm with a bunch of other preachers, Shane, and we're sitting at a table, and the waitress comes up to wait on us, and I'm thinking, if I witness to her, that's going to impress these guys that's sitting with me. And I start talking to her. That's a zero. It's a zero. As far as walking in spirit, as far as what God would have me to do, the blessings of God in my life, it's just a big zero. If I sat down at the table and the Spirit says to me, say something to that girl. I don't want to. She's busy. I don't want to say anything to her. Look at all these people she's trying to wait on, and she'll think, well, here's this old man trying to take up my time. And the Spirit says, say, talk to her about me. Witness to her. Ask her if she knows me. Okay. Do you know Jesus? And I did what I didn't want to do, but I was obedient to what the Spirit had said for me to do. And God said, then you're growing in me. You're growing in me. And that other does not bring any reward. It only brings about death. You see, we can do things that would seem to be spiritual that would bring about death in our life. A few years ago, I went to Southern Baptist Convention, and I never seen so many people dressed up. And you know, there's some people can strut sitting down. Have you seen people like that? And at the time, I was at a Tuckerman, but our associate pastor was with me, youth director, associate pastor. And I said, I want you to look around. I said, every one of these guys is dressed to kill. I said, I saw one a while ago. I think he had on makeup. And I said, you know what I think I'll do? I said, I think I'll just change my image totally. I said, I'm going to get me some overalls. And when I come to these meetings, I'm going to start wearing overalls. I was just making a point, and I have never worn overalls to the state convention yet. Yet. But he said, if I can lose some weight, he said, will you let me have your suits? Do you see where I'm going? Do you see what I'm talking about? If I could browbeat you into being faithful, it's just a big zero. It's just not worth anything. But when you and I start being faithful because we love Jesus, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what it is about. That's walking in the Spirit. When we start being obedient to Him because that's what He's asked us to do. And it pays spiritual dividends. Now you're not going to be able, He's not going to give you a button to wear around. Say, look what I did. Matter of fact, I think if you're wearing that button, it's a pretty good indication that you're on the wrong side of the fence. I think Romans is so good. I mean, I have learned so much in this book. His grace is so magnificent. I just kind of have this deal of performing. I don't know how to say that. I want to be a people pleaser. I just want to keep my job. try to do things to make people happy. And the Spirit says that's not what it's about. Man, you do it because you love me. And you're reaching out to folks because you love me. You're doing that because you love me. Young people, don't put on a show. Man, just be what God's called you to be. and walk in the Spirit. I mean, there is, folks, there is something, there is a life there that that I'm just scratching the surface, and I'm thinking, Lord, man, there is just so much here in this grace that I don't have to be anything but Lanny. I'm just what you've created me to be. I just be me and walk in Spirit. And you'd say, well, now that's just that'd be a lazy man's way of living the Christian life. Oh, no. You remember what the prophet said? I said I wasn't going to say anything to anybody. But he put a fire in my bosom and I couldn't hold it back. He just set me on fire for him. Let's stand together. Jesus told Nicodemus when he asked him how he could see the kingdom of God, he said, you must be born again. And folks, that's the bottom line. Some folks are living for the devil because they've never been born again. They just got a church membership. They've been baptized, but they haven't passed from the old way of life into the new way of life. They just gone through the motions. They're putting on a show. They're doing it. They're coming to church to ease their conscience a little bit, not because they're in love with Jesus. He wants to live His life through you. He wants you to die so that He can come alive through you. And see, that's a great, great place to be. Him living, Him doing it through you. Letting Him be in the driver's seat. If you're not a Christian, I want you to come today and give your heart to Jesus. If you are, and God's dealing with your heart about a recommitment to Him, would you come and do that today? Or if God's dealing with your heart about joining this church, would you come and do that today? As we sing, you come.